Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for gathering us. God, you are our dwelling place. God, it is your presence, God, that we long after. We long to be in your courts today, God, to hear your words, to meditate, God, on your words. God, we hunger, God, to know of you and know you, and God, we want to be ushered, God, into your glories. So speak to us, God, speak to us of the cross, speak to us of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I was supposed to do the second part of the sermon on the communion, and I just decided, you know, why don't we wait till the next communion to do that? And so we're going to do that, and hopefully we can do a communion every quarter. But I want to talk about baptism. There are two ordinances for our church, and so for most evangelical churches, there are two ordinances. People are going, well, what's an ordinance? Some people call them sacraments, and if you're in the Catholic Church or whatnot. But an ordinance, just like a city ordinance, it's this rule or law, you know. And these are the practices of a church that we must do. We are a Baptist church is because we believe in believers' immersion baptism, for instance. So baptism is an ordinance. And so is communion. Some people call it the Lord's Supper. So we have two ordinances that we must do. So I think it was kind of humbling. Last week, I think somebody mentioned, oh, I didn't know your church did communion. It's been such a long time. How neglectful is it? You know, if it is an ordinance of God, that we not do that more faithfully. So my apologize to you. We want to understand why we do what we do, why we did what we did. For many of you, you were also baptized. So a baptism is like literally means to be submerged. So it is when you become a Christian, there's a command to get baptized. And so we dip you in the water and then you come out. And so that's the practice. That is the mandate. And we want to talk about that. And we want to talk about baptism. And for those who have not been baptized or not had this idea when you were maybe just going through the motion, and are considering, some of you I know have expressed that you are considering getting rebaptized. And some of you, you know, this is just a reminder of what it is that we were baptized into. And I think, so baptism the analogy of it is really marriage ceremony. So baptism is like a wedding, actually. It's the union of God. And we want to talk about that and expound on that. So let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 3, so we can understand this a little bit better. Do you not know that all of us, all the believers who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So Paul is reminding people, well, when you were baptized, I don't know if you knew this, but you were baptized into his death. And then he expounds that. If that wasn't enough, he says, we were buried therefore with him. So we were buried. We were dead. So the good news for all you believers is you are dead by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Right now, I gotta actually go back after service because I'm germinating grass seeds. Okay? Now, for anybody that knows anything about grass, and I don't know, how many people are like grass dudes? Okay, Jerry. All right. The one thing I don't do is when I, you know, I have, it's a very weedy and there's dirt patches everywhere. So I decided, you know what? I should do something about this. All right? And it's not as easy because people, you know, last year we spread grass seeds. You know what I don't do and I will never do is religiously water my lawn. But if you want to grow new grass from grasses, you have to, it's called germination. So what happens is grass seeds go into the ground, they get buried. And then it takes a bit, but you got to water it. And you got to water it like 2-3 times a day for days. And I'm not good at that. Now there's a hack. So I discovered the hack, and that is, you know, you could germinate the grass seed in a bucket of water, and then you wet it, and you know, and then you do that for a few days, and then you re-wet it, dump the water, and it's just this process. But here's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to teach you about how to grow grass seeds here. And Jesus has this analogy. Unless a seed is what? Buried, right? It can't have life. But there's a lot of us who are believers who are struggling with a victorious Christian life. For of us who become Christians are struggling with this idea of this resurrected life. And here's the thing. If we're not struggling with dying, if we don't consider ourselves dead, then what I think, you know, Paul is telling the Romans here, the church in Rome, is that when you were baptized, you were baptized into his death. So he's reminding them, you're dead. And you will continue to be dead, and you need to stay dead. Because life has just a very good, interesting way, not good, but has this way of bringing out the little Henry. Okay? There's the big Henry, and then there's the little Henry. All right? Now, when I get hurt, when my feelings get hurt, right? Little Henry loves to come out. All right? It's actually baby Henry. When I get offended, I don't know where big Henry is. Big Henry is out when I'm having fun. You know, when things are going well, big Henry likes to flex his chest. But little Henry comes out anytime, you know, anytime even when my kids get hurt, you know, I get really protective of them. That's little Henry. And what Paul is saying here is that little Henry, that's like the old Henry. And that Henry needs to stay dead. Got a couple of quotes here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So when you became a Christian, it was an invitation to death. A.W. Tozer says this, the man who is at peace with God is a man who has learned to die. So it's not just a one-time thing, is it? It's a continual learning of death. He is no longer interested in the world's view of life, but he has a heart that longs for the things of God. If anybody has an interest in having a personal relationship with God and being close to God, have a really intimate relationship, then you're very interested in death, because there's nothing more Christ-like than an interest in death. Okay, for the one he loves. Luke 14:27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There again, it's an invitation to, Christ is to leave the old life and come and bear your cross to follow him. It's really a fresh beginning. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get back into the old life, the old way of thinking. But it's just like this fresh life. Now, the idea of baptism is this joining in the death of Christ. So let me just give you kind of this story. When I was in college, I was away. I was in the National Guard, and it was a summer AT. I was just, you know, I had gone to church when I was in sixth grade for about a year, and something had happened, and I think for most of middle school, and I think because the bus stopped coming around after a year, it, you know, I think many of you know this story. So all throughout high school, I didn't go to church, And then when I got to college, you know, there was a guy that came into the dorm. At that time, the dorms weren't really were open. So we had this, you know, gentleman from, his name is Dave Case, and some of you met him. He came into the dorm and he was just, you know, like trying to recruit people for the fellowship. And I met him, and then I got to talking with him, and something was going on. There was something stirring inside, because all throughout high school, there was this low-level guilt, low-level shame that was like kind of prevalent in my life. I didn't know what it was. And then I started dating. It wasn't like, you know. And then I was in the National Guard, so I was away after my freshman year, before my sophomore year. And somebody had given me a Christian tape. You know, I mean, Steve Camp, Fire and Ice. I remember that. It's too old for many of you. I was listening to it, and it was just, it was like a very straightforward, like, about sin, and it was just like, but something was weird. The only thing I know, like, whenever you get hurt, and you're trying to tell somebody that hurt you that that was wrong, right? The only way I know how to tell you that you are wrong, I can't, it's hard for me, and it's almost impossible to say it without wanting to feel you to feel guilty and shame. Agree or disagree? Do you talk like that? If you don't realize that, ask the people that love you, okay? Seriously. It's laced. Because we as human beings, we want them to feel guilty and shame for what they're doing. That is the way we get people to kind of realize that they're doing something wrong. Now, even as parents, I'm on a bit of an apology tour to my children, because without realizing it, I employ that tactic quite often. Instead of just saying it, I would say it this way. Then I would say it this way, then I would say it that way, then I would say it all over again to make sure that they understood. Now, in my mind, I'm not trying to guilt them. I'm not trying to shame them. I'm just trying to say it like it is. But I'm a very lecturing person. I didn't know this. Children pointed that out to me. Now, how God does it, He says, it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. I've never in my life, and on that day, when I was listening to that song, there was something stirring in my heart. And I experienced the sinfulness of sin. Right? I was dating for all the wrong reasons. I came back afterwards and I broke up that relationship. But it was a, but there was a stirring in my heart, but there was a warmth. It was just weird. I wanted to be better. I wanted to be a better man. I wanted to be better in my relationship with Christ. You know? And, so when we talk about Christ, when we talk about sin and we talk about, you know, and I hope what you're not hearing is condemnation, because you know what the Bible says? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we make much of sin, what it does is we're making much of the cross, right? And all of the violence that it took, the true violence that it took to absolve us of our sins through love. And I want my children to understand and be zealous to confess sin and to admit sin and to humble themselves. Because when they do that, they're availing themselves to the power of the cross. And sometimes that's called death. But that's good, isn't it? That day, that stirring, you know? And you felt that, you know, when you, like, you're in growth group and you're like confessing something and it's really personal. And you know, you're just like, it's just, and then when people hurt you, you know, it's because we are so wired to lay guilt trips and condemn and shame and gossip, and that's the way we are. But that's not the way it is with Christ. And so baptism is joining Christ in his death, right? So as we come to the cross, unite with him in his death, we get to experience all the mercy. Now, this is how, if we're to come to God, we come through Christ, we come through the cross. So for in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. The one thing about baptism is not only are we being baptized into Christ, but we're also baptized into his body. Okay. So I hope that, you know, as we lay this out, Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And this is where we get the ordinance. It says baptizing them. So to be a disciple, you have to go through the ceremony, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The idea of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is the idea of baptizing, right? It's the idea when you're baptized that you're joining with him in his death. And now what does that have to do with observing all that I have commanded? Galatians 5:13 says this, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's go to the next line. To have deep and satisfying relationships is to have a deep commitment to learn the satisfaction of dying to self in Christ. How many people want to have deep, meaningful relationship with your children, with your spouse, right? With people in the church? The thing about it is, you ever wonder if a natural, like if you're just naturally like just coming and going, do you think that you will have a deep and satisfying relationship? I realize even now, even with my like adult children, that I have to be deliberate. I have to be deliberate. I have to welcome. I'm actually trying to see if there are things that I've done or said in the past that might have hurt them. I'm trying to be deliberate in the way, but you know, a lot of times when I'm trying to be deliberate, what I'm recognizing is I have to die. Like, they're going to say things that I want to hear. But I want to be, there's a commitment though. You know what I'm saying? There's a commitment to dying. If you want to have a good relationship with people, like if you want to have a good relationship with your husband or your wife, there's a bit of a commitment there to communicate with each other. Or you're going to end up like roommates. How many of you not know what it's like to just be a roommate with your spouse? And same goes with your children. There's a thoughtfulness, isn't there? And very often, it requires dying. That's why Jesus says, right? There is no greater love than this, than one who laid down his life for a friend. Even marriage, it's interesting, has kind of this picture of baptism. Ephesians 5:25-32 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water. What does that have to do with loving your wife? It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then it goes on and gives us this imagery of baptism. This is washing of water with the word. It says, therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that refers to Christ and the church. So in the picture of baptism, right, in the picture of the way that Christ died for us, and so what the picture is you see this husband who is, you know, dying for his wife as Christ died for the church, and then the wife joins that as the church joins Christ in death, right? And here's the thing. The way of love is the way of death. and it's initiated by the husband. John 6:53, right? We saw this last week. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. I think what Jesus is saying, you know, both in the communion and in baptism, the way of love is violent. It is violent. It is extremely violent. The cross is a very violent image of the sacrifice of the one who would love us unconditionally. And the way of love and the way of Christ and the Christian life is violent. It's violent. You get hurt. And the idea of love and relationship is violent. It's painful. What I mean is, the more I get to know you, the more I pray for you, the more I feel pain. And the more I feel pain, the more I'm required to die. And someone said to me once, there's no hurt like church hurt. I believe it's true. And it is, isn't it painful when your child is hurt? Because you love them so much. The thing about it is, the most deep and satisfying love is a very vulnerable, very devoted love that requires a lot of dying, a lot of forgiving, and a lot of, you know, covering, you know, that sin with love. It's really, really hard, isn't it? Matter of fact, we want our love, we want our relationship with God to be something else. And so Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, gives us a picture of a guy who wanted to kind of like, you know what, let me just focus on me and God. Okay, here it is. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, this is Jesus talking to somebody who wanted to have this right relationship with God, and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. To join Jesus, baptism is a picture that you will always and forever, right? The relationship is the death of self. To want the relationship, because the thing is what we want church sometimes is we want to, you know, just, you know, come on, chill out. Okay, let's have just like a normal relationship. But what's really is it's both. It's both. Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Philippians 2, it says this. Complete my joy. This is how Paul's joy is being complete. By being of the same mind, having the same love. Do you know what the same love is? Is I'm going to die for you. I'm going to forgive you. No matter what. And you're going to do that for me. It's the same love. Even if you don't do that for me. Okay, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We are, when we, you know, become a Christian, we have this interesting relationship. The way God loves us, the way God points out sin in our lives, not through shame and condemnation or guilt. And so likewise, it's so hard though, you know, when when we are treated in that manner, it's hard to not do that for other people. But that's exactly where we're at in baptism. Like, God wants us to understand the joy, the pure joy of becoming like Christ. And we're joining Christ in this kind of death so that when we arise, this resurrection life is a life that comes from death. But we're constantly looking for a resurrected life that doesn't include death. And God is constantly saying, go back, die. Love deeply, forgive deeply, be generous with your love, right? And that's the way of life. That's the way of love. That's the way of the cross. And we just relate differently. When we, it's so hard. I even when I'm fighting with Ellen, my tendency is, because we're all so good at seeing other people's sin, aren't we? You know, we're so good at seeing how other people are inadequate. You know, we're just so good at it. You know? And it's just so hard just to let it go. Or to, you know, and it's just the way of, and we just, and the when we talk, it just comes out. The thing is, the way of death, when we were baptized, we're saying, I am absolutely committed to that life. To the life of death in the cross, both in the receiving of mercy and speaking mercy. And that is, and then there's the promise of that life is just pure joy. It's joy. I consider it all joy, right? To be able to humble myself and to relate in a completely different way. And so here's the homework, right? Here's the homework. Catch yourself guilt-tripping people. Catch yourself when you talk, okay, that you remove that, and allow God, it's okay to point it out. But the homework here is, as you talk, that tone that we want other, see, that's the Holy Spirit has to point out sin, and He does it in a way that leaves us utterly speechless. But the way we point out sin, and the only way we can, and the human way, is guilting and shaming. It's hard. And to not do that, it feels like dying. Because we just, and it just feels like if I bite my tongue or something, I'm gonna die. But you will die, but in a good way. And I want us to go beyond this idea, right? Is the thing about the gospel is what Jesus prayed for is this way of love is that I hope you have great expectation that in the baptism, in this new way of life, that you'll have rich, deep, and loving relationships with God, but also with each other. That our expectation goes beyond what is outside these walls. And that our way of relating to each other is merciful and gracious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we need your help, Lord. God, we wanna talk the way you want us to talk. We wanna do, we wanna, like we need your love, God. We need, just, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, come to us and, Lord, show us the way of death. God, show us the way of love. God, help us to be kind in our words. God, help us to point people to the cross, not point people to shame. Help us to point people to love and not to guilt. Oh, Lord, help us to talk differently, to act differently. Oh, Lord, thank you, God, for not condemning us. We deserve it so much. But, Lord, you love us, and you die for us. And we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.